12 if you're using a church Bible. I think it's very similar to the NIV, which I'll be using. I checked before. Psalm 121. A couple of pages still turning. And it begins, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, He, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And we look forward to what Ben is going to share with us now.
Well, last Sunday, we commenced a new series looking at the Psalms of Ascent. Now, you may recall that there's a reason why these 15 Psalms, beginning at Psalm 120 and ending at Psalm 134, are called the Psalms or the Songs of Ascent. They were the songs that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year for the great triannual feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The Psalms of Ascent functioned as the soundtrack for these pilgrims, encouraging them as they made their journey up to Zion. Now, the reason why we're doing a series looking at the Psalms of Ascent is because we're on a pilgrimage too. In fact, the entire Christian life is a road trip of sorts, and that's why we've called the series Songs for the Road. We're all on a pilgrimage. We're all headed to the new Jerusalem. And these Psalms of Ascent, which have been on the lips of pilgrims for some 3,000 years, serve to comfort and encourage us today as we make our way through the wilderness of this life, to the new heavens and to the new earth. And as we'll see over the next few weeks, each of these Songs of Ascent have something to say about the nature of our spiritual journey. Well, we took our first steps last week. We're now going to take our second step by looking at Psalm 121. But before we do so, let's pray. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. As you work in us now by your Holy Spirit through your word. Amen. Well, I was standing outside the post office on Queen Street with a map in my hand and a great burden on my back. It was my first day working as a postman in the Brisbane CBD, and I was feeling daunted by the task set before me. My job required me to go up and down these skyscrapers, delivering mail to various businesses on each level. Now, looking up at those giant skyscrapers in the CBD, I remember feeling dwarfed. How am I going to get through today? I thought to myself. I'm bound to get lost. This mail isn't getting delivered. Well, thankfully, with a little help, I managed to get through that first shift. But not all the mail got delivered to the right address. Nevertheless, I still remember that feeling of being daunted by what I was required to do. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt daunted, dwarfed, or overwhelmed by a task that has been set before you. No matter what age or stage of life each of us are currently in, I guarantee all of us are feeling daunted by something on the horizon. A task that needs to be completed, a hurdle that needs to be jumped, a problem that can no longer be ignored. Well, judging by these words open in front of us, the pilgrim in Psalm 121 is also feeling daunted by what lays ahead of him. See, having left behind the spiritual wilderness of Psalm 120, the pilgrim is now on the road to Zion. This believer, however, has immediately encountered some difficulty. In fact, the pilgrim's question in verse 1 appears to be asked from the perspective of one staring up at a daunting mountain range. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now, the fact that this pilgrim is feeling a little dwarfed isn't surprising, really. After all, the pilgrimage up to Jerusalem was no walk in the park. In fact, given that the city of David was situated some 2,500 feet above sea level, the pilgrimage to Zion was actually a steady ascent. The city of Jerusalem was, and still is today, surrounded by a vast mountain range known to locals as the Judean Hills, the average height of which is roughly 3,000 feet. Now, unfortunately for these pilgrims, there was no courtesy bus available to them, meaning they needed to make the long, winding journey on foot. Not only did pilgrims have to worry about the steep ascent, they also had to contend with groups of vagabonds and thieves hiding amongst the mountains, just waiting to pounce on poor defensive pilgrims and rob them of their goods. There was also the extreme weather, with pilgrims having to sometimes make their journey in 40-degree heat. And while sleeping under the moon and stars might sound idyllic to some, these pilgrims always had to sleep with one eye open, wary of becoming prey to predators like mountain lions and wolves. Now, given these trying conditions, you can understand why a Jewish pilgrim might be a little daunted as he or she began this journey up to Jerusalem. If he or she had any hope of making it to the destination, they were going to need a little help. But where was a pilgrim going to find this kind of help? Well, as the pilgrim looked to those hills on his way up to Jerusalem, he probably would have seen a recurrent sight. Idols. See, from the time when the Canaanites inhabited the land of Israel, mountains were often the location of pagan shrines and temples. On the hills surrounding Jerusalem, the pilgrim would have seen shrines, altars, and totem poles erected for the worship of pagan gods like Baal and El. See, though the people of Israel were called to worship the living God and Him alone, they frequently failed to comply with this command throughout their history. The prophets often called the people of Israel out for engaging in this kind of idol worship on the hills. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles, says the Lord through his prophet Hosea. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains and burn offerings on the hills. Under oak, poplar, and terebinth trees. Because their shade is good. Now, why were the people of Israel so attracted to this kind of idol worship? Why were the hills around Jerusalem littered with shrines and altars to false gods? And why might a pilgrim feel tempted to look to the hills as he makes his journey up to Jerusalem? Well, because these pagan gods promised protection and provision. to quote the Bible translator Eugene Peterson. Persons were lured to the shrines to engage in acts of worship that would enhance the fertility of the land, would make one feel good, and would protect you from evil. There were nostrums, protections, spells, and enchantments against all the perils of the road. Do you fear the sun's heat? Go to the sun priest and pray for protection against the sun god. Are you fearful of the malign influence of moonlight? Go to the moon priestess and buy an amulet. Are you haunted by demons that can use the pebble under your foot to trip you up? Go to their shrine. Learn the magic formula to ward off their mischief. See, as this pilgrim looked to the hills on his way to Jerusalem, he was confronted not only by the daunting task ahead, but with the sight of all these gods who promised to aid him on his journey. While we may not be inclined to bow down to a totem pole or wear an amulet around our neck, we are nevertheless tempted to look to the hills in our own way. By looking to the hills, I simply mean looking to the things of this creation for safety, for security, and for ultimate satisfaction. See, when pilgrims look to the hills today, we see the gods of wealth, popularity, and power. Like Baal of old, each of these gods promised to aid us and help us if only we make sacrifices to them. For instance, the god of wealth promises to help us throughout life's journey. But we must be willing to sacrifice our time, sometimes even our families, in order to gain it. The god of popularity promises to aid us too, but we must be willing to sacrifice our integrity upon the altar. The god of power promises to help us through this life, but we'll need to sacrifice the fruit of the Spirit in order to hold on to it. You get my point. The hills leading up to the New Jerusalem are filled with gods demanding our worship, whose siren call promises safety, security, and satisfaction. You'll notice, though, that the pilgrim in Psalm 121 isn't straying from the path. He isn't giving in to the call. While he may be daunted by the path lying ahead, and while he may be aware of the idols promising to aid him along the way, he already knows the answer to the question he poses in verse 1. Where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. My help doesn't come from anything within this creation, the pilgrim reminds himself, but from the Creator. I don't need to be daunted by these mountains, for my helper is the one who made the mountains in the first place. Now you'll notice from verse 3 onwards that the pilgrim begins to reassure himself of God's promises. Though he may feel daunted by the path which lies ahead, he intentionally reminds himself of what he knows is true. Just on a quick aside, if you've never engaged in this kind of spiritual self-talk before, I'd highly recommend it. You'll find it a lot easier to keep your head when facing a daunting situation when you simply stop for a second and remind yourself of what you know is actually true. And that's exactly what the pilgrim does from verse 3 onwards. He reminds himself of who God is towards him. God, the Creator and Helper, is like a vigilant father, keeping close watch over his child as he makes his journey. In fact, the pilgrim reminds himself repeatedly of this truth, doesn't he? Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. And the pilgrim is assured of this because he knows, verse 5, that the Lord is his keeper. The Lord promises to watch the pilgrim's every step, verse 3, to shade him from the sun while also protecting him from the dangers of the night, verse 6. The pilgrim's God is not like the gods of the nations who fall asleep and must be roused. His God is not like the gods of the nations whose affection and protection must be bought at a price. The pilgrim can rest in peace because he knows the Lord will not rest until he arrives at his destination. His God will remain by his side at all times for all time. Now, as pleasant as this notion may sound, some of us may be questioning its accuracy. The Lord will keep you from all evil, declares the psalmist. Now, the experience of countless suffering pilgrims the world over only appears to undermine his confidence, though. Indeed, such confidence sounds incongruous with the lived reality of many of us today. The honest truth is many faithful believers have experienced great evils in their lifetime. One thinks of the terrible persecution Nigerian Christians are experiencing even as I preach. Even when we take an honest look at our own lives, we see examples of abuse and mistreatment at the hands of others. Some of us have been sinned against terribly, while all of us have experienced the pain of loss and the sting of death. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Well, it seems that he isn't very good at keeping his people. How do you make sense of this? How do we make sense of this? How do we reconcile the undeniable reality of our lived experience with the promise of this psalm? But when it comes to this matter, I think Bible scholar Eugene Peterson offers a helpful point of clarification. The promise of this psalm, writes Peterson, is not that we shall never stub our toes, but that no injury, no illness, no accident, no distress will have any power over us. That is, will not be able to separate us from God's purposes for us. Or to put it another way, pilgrims are not promised cushy lives. We're promised a cross. Pilgrims are not promised cushy lives, but we are promised God's ongoing preserving power. In his sermon on Psalm 121, Johnny Gibson, a Presbyterian pastor based in the US, tells this remarkable story of a Vietnamese Bible translator by the name of Hien. After Vietnam fell in the 1970s, Hien was captured and imprisoned by Viet Cong forces. Assuming him to be a traitor, the young Christian was brutally beaten by his North Vietnamese captors, who sought to brainwash him with communist materials. after days of repeated torture. Hien broke. The young Christian stopped praying. Pretty soon after that, he stopped believing. If there was a God, Hien thought, he is no help to me in my cell. One day, however, while cleaning the prison latrine, Hien noticed a scrunched up piece of paper that had been used as toilet paper. He unfolded the delicate paper and noticed a single word at the top of the page. Romans. Hien rubbed off the human excrement, folded it up, and put the page in his pocket. That night, in the darkness of his cell, Hien switched on his torch and read the following words on that torn, stained piece of paper. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor present things nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the darkness of his cell, Hien began to cry. And for the first time in a long time, he cried out in prayer. Lord, sobbed Hien, you would not let me out of your reach for even one day. The Lord was Hien's keeper. The Lord kept and protected this beleaguered pilgrim even when he thought he was alone and abandoned. But here's the good news. Hien's keeper is your keeper. Indeed, the God who kept Hien throughout his pilgrimage is the same God who keeps you now. He is your shade. He is your protector. He is your preserver. And because this is true, you don't need to be daunted by the path that lies ahead of you. Because this is true, you don't need to feel dwarfed by the hills which surround you. Even if you encounter tribulation, distress, danger, death on the road, you need not fear, for nothing, no one can separate you from your keeper, Jesus Christ. He will guide you. He will guard you. He will keep you all the way. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, grant to us faith to believe that we are not alone. Grant us faith to believe that you are watching over us. Grant us faith to believe, even when the chips are down, that you are by our side and will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen.